morning, I want to talk to you about a successful launch for a new year. You know, we've been asked to reflect. Marty reminded us that the newspaper asked people to reflect. Our bulletin today suggests that we need to reflect. We need to reflect over our own life. Because if we don't think correctly, if we don't program our thoughts correctly, then we can go way off course. I just want you to think about and reflect upon what a horrible year this has been for the Boeing Corporation. I bet everyone involved with Boeing Enterprises wished 2019 never happened. First of all, there was the Boeing 737 MAX fiasco with multiple jets crashing because the guidance system was not programmed correctly in human error. Tragically, many lives were lost because of that bad programming. And then just last week, Boeing, hoping to reignite its position in the manned space program, was testing out their new manned capsule for NASA, the Boeing Starliner. And someone put in the wrong guidance system in that capsule. And the rocket launched off and went into a totally different orbit than what they planned for that capsule to go in. You see, this shows us that it's all important that we think right, because our brains are our guidance system, just like a missile. I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul talks so much about our thinking. Our scripture lesson comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It's a very short verse, but oh, what a powerful verse this is. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things." He begins by saying, whatever is true. You know, this is really the essence, the bottom line of good thinking. If we have bad information in our guidance system, our brain, then we are going to go way, way off course. I can't help but think of the words of Pontius Pilate as Jesus stood before him. That famous question he asked Jesus, "What is truth? What is truth?" You know, that's the question that troubles every human soul. We live in a society, in a world where this is more true than ever before. Everyone is arguing as to what is true. You know, in our postmodern society, we've even made the confusion even greater. Because now we have this philosophy of relativism, where every single human being creates their own truth. Have you noticed sometimes when you have talked to someone about an issue of the gospel or God's standards and law for our lives, people will say, "Well, that is your truth. But the way I see things, my truth is this." But have you ever contemplated what the consequences of that kind of philosophy of relativism is? What it means is there's really no truth. People are just kind of manufacturing a fiction to live by. So what is truth? What is truth? Well, Jesus says that God's word is truth. And more than that, one of the reasons Jesus came, we've just finished celebrating Advent, the reason Jesus came was to reveal to us God and his truth. In the opening chapter of John chapter 1, verse 14, we read these words, "And the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." The two things we need more than anything else, Jesus came to bring. We need grace because we're not right with God. And we celebrate what Jesus did for us on the cross, and rightly so, that wonderful, wonderful grace of Jesus. But we also need to be celebrating the truth of Jesus, because Jesus gives us the truth we so desperately need. Later on in John's Gospel, Jesus Christ himself said these famous words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In my opinion, one of the better books that has come out in recent years is entitled "The Story of Reality: How the World Began, How It Ends, and Everything Important That Happens Between." I love this title and I love this book because it reminds us that the only way to understand reality is to have a biblical worldview. To understand in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. To understand the end, that in the end Jesus Christ comes and reigns forever and ever. And to understand all the wisdom God has given us in his word, so we know how to live in between. What does this mean for us, that Jesus is the truth? That we need to think and reprogram our minds according to the truth. What does it mean for us on a practical, day-to-day living? Well, it means this, first of all, that we can't go by what we're hearing in the media. We can't necessarily go by what we learn in school. We can't necessarily go by what our friends and family members think is truth. No, we must go to God's word. And we must understand reality and truth by what this book tells us. Because everything else is a lie and a distortion. Paul, reflecting on this whole topic of thinking, says this to the Romans: "Do not be conformed to this world." In other words, you're getting bad information from the world. Don't be conformed to that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. That is why we as a congregation every year participate in a Bible reading program, because we want to get our minds and our hearts reprogrammed according to God's word. Now, I know that not all of you participate in that. You know, we've had some pretty challenging Bible reading plans where we read through the Bible in a year, and that takes quite a bit of work. That's a challenging plan. And so this year, I don't want to dumb it down. I'm not saying I'm dumbing it down, but I'm going to make it easier for you. On the back table there, we printed off 30 copies, and hopefully they'll be all taken, so we'll put more of them there next Sunday. But if I get 30 people from the congregation to do this, I, I'm I'd be really pleased. It's called the 5x5x5 plan. Just give God 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, so you have two extras to catch up if you skip a day. And the plan gives you five different ways of reading the New Testament. And if you do that, you'll read through the New Testament this year. And so I hope that we'll have to print more copies and that every single one of us will be filling our mind with the truth of God's Word from the New Testament. Now, Paul goes on. He gives six other characteristics, but I'm going to just kind of lump them all together. And I'm going to say whatever is good, that's what we're to think about. Now, why am I lumping it together? Well, partly to make the sermon go a little quicker. You don't want to have a seven-point sermon, do you? No. But really, the word good really sums up everything well in this text. And it also, I think, points us to our memory verse, our verse of the year. And that's Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. This is the end of the matter. All that has been heard. Fear the Lord and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, as our session sat together earlier this month, and we looked at all the submissions, there were so many great verses that you as a congregation suggested to us. But our heart went to this one because we sense, and I think you do too, that as I said earlier, we're living in a divided society. We're in a divided country, and this division is causing such conflict, I mean, even violence. And after looking at all this, we need to hear what the author of Ecclesiastes says. In the end of the matter, folks, there's only one good. Fear God and keep His commandments. See, there's all kinds of fighting and debates going on. But the bottom line is, fear God and keep His commandments. You know, in Paul's day, one of the highest virtues in both the pagan society and the Jewish cultures was honor. It was an honor society. People were very careful not to dishonor other people or to do anything that would bring dishonor upon themselves. And Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 reminds us that we should be concerned first and foremost about not dishonoring God. Fear God and keep His commandments. You know, that's what it means to honor God, is to hold Him in reverence, fear, and to do what He says. We need to make sure that our thoughts, as Paul says, are honorable. We need to look at our thoughts and say, do these thoughts honor or dishonor God? Here's a good rule of thumb. Imagine if all your thoughts for broadcast on Twitter and Facebook and all the other types of social media out there. Everyone in the world could see what you're thinking. Would they see your thoughts as just, as Paul suggests in our verse? Would they see your thoughts as pure? Would people be admiring your thoughts and say, wow, that person has such lovely, beautiful thoughts? Would they commend them and say, wow, those thoughts are excellent? Would they bring praise to God for your thoughts? See, these are practical ways to think about the way we're thinking. And as we get our mind wrapped around the truth, we need to take control of our thoughts, to make sure that those thoughts are good, that they're honorable and pure and just and lovely, excellent, commendable and worthy of praise. And yes, we can take every thought captive. Paul, again, I think he really understood this. because he's already said, you know, think about these things to the Philippians. And then in Romans, he says, renew your mind, your thinking. And then to the Corinthians, he says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You see, most people just let their thoughts run wild, out of control, because they don't have control. You know, in the flesh, we have no power to control our thinking, but the good news of the gospel is this. This is why we're so celebrating the joy to the world today, that we now in Christ have divine power by the Holy Spirit that's able to destroy strongholds and take every thought captive. What thoughts do you have in your life right now that you're ashamed of, that maybe are running wild, depressing you, or getting you down? Take control of them, because you can through Christ Jesus. You see, the good news that Jesus came is the key to unlocking the power to reprogramming our mind. That's why we call it good news. If we don't do this, our lives are going to go out of control. We're going to crash and burn like the 737. But we can start this new year right. In fact, we can start off a whole new decade right, right? It's exciting what's going to happen in a few days. By renewing our minds according to the truth that we find in Jesus Christ. And so let us pray. Oh Lord God, we pray for that divine power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in each and every one of the members of this congregation, that we may reprogram our minds according to the divine will of God found in your word, that we would have our hearts renewed and our thoughts renewed by the Holy Spirit. And whatever is leading us astray, take them captive and control our thoughts by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited Jesus came. And so I want to sing one last time, Joy to the World. It's hymn number 125.